Welcome on program me hor, Miss Nsi, that's a program me Blissem Connect. Me, I Amy Camilleri Zara. Għaddiġi moħra, weġajna għanna missidna differenti. Il-program Connect huwa mtella mill-Fakultà Tisjih tas-Soċjetà u ta' kull ġimgħa niltaqgħu ma' mistieden jew mistiedna differenti li għamlu x-xogħol tagħhom propju fih dan il-fakultà. Mejn illum għandna lil Marija Pisani, akademika mad-Dipartiment tal-Istudji dwar iż-żgħażagħ u l-komunità. U forsi għal differenti minn programm oħra nitkellmu dwar riċerka li diġà saret. Ġieli ntajna ma' studenti tad-dottorat li ħafna drabi jkunu jew qegħdin propju jagħmlu riċerka tagħhom, allura mhux dejjem ikollhom ir-riżultati, però għal din il-ġimgħa ħaniltaqgħu ma' proġett fejn ħatkellimna aktar dwaru Dr. Marija Pisani, propju proġett li diġà sar. Grazzi tal-li lqajt l-istedina tagħna. Marija, forsi tibda tgħidilna ftit dwar dan il-proġett.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me, Amy. It's really lovely to be here. You know, I always tell my students, when we're conducting research, we're researching. So really, one research feeds into another. The research process is ongoing. And the research that we conducted last year built on the evidence base of previous research and also on our experience in the field. Now, when I say our experience, it's because apart from my work as part of my work as an academic, I also work closely with NGOs and specifically in this case working on asylum issues, and because my area is youth, with a particular focus on unaccompanied minors in Malta. So it was in meetings with NGOs that we felt the need to further dig in and produce a piece of research that focuses on the experiences of unaccompanied minors in Malta, and specifically their transitions to adulthood. And I'll explain that a little bit later on.
Forse nispjega naftit x'inhu terminu unaccompanied minors. Forse mhux kulħadd mhux forse mitħela daqshekk ma' dan is-settur u ma' dan il-qasam, forsi x'tkun l-istorja tagħhom jew min ikunu dawn l-unaccompanied.
So I'll explain unaccompanied minors, and I'll also explain youth transitions, because that's also an important concept. But I'd like to say as well that for us it was really important that this piece of research, you say the program is about connecting, and in a sense this research was also about connecting and giving voice to young people who are not only marginalized in Maltese society, but are also voiceless. And there has been report after report, magistrate decision after magistrate decision, and including more recently the European Court of Human Rights again declaring that the rights of unaccompanied minors are being denied in our detention centers. So it was important that we conducted research to develop this evidence base and give voice to unaccompanied minors. So who are they? So unaccompanied minors is the term that we use to describe those minors, children, in other words, children under the age of 18, who arrive in Malta alone. Now, some arrive by plane, the majority arrive by boat. They would have made a long journey on their own, crossing the Sahara or coming from other parts of Africa and Asia. They cross the Mediterranean alone, and they apply for asylum alone in Malta. And they are placed in detention whilst they undergo a vulnerability assessment and an age assessment. So these are the young people that we're speaking about, and these are the young people that participated in the research.
You say vulnerability assessment. X'ikun qed iħares, ovvjament, dawn ovvja li huma f'istat vulnerabbli. Ġifieri inti ġejt għamilt dan il-traġitt biex ngħidu hekk waħdek mingħajr ġenituri, forsi se jkun li anke tlift ġenituri fil-proċess li tkun qed qiegħed ġej jew ġejja. Allura meta ngħidu vulnerability assessment.
One of the contradictions of the process itself, anyone who arrives on a boat one can argue is inherently vulnerable. The very fact
which I have to ovviamente an accompany doing to mine.
Aħsepwara azat. I mean anki il fatli flaħar min laħar inti hat decisioni ek. Because of the conditions that were forcing you to flee from something in the first place and flee alone. Perhaps historically we can understand it. If we look at and the way we've remembered so many young people, children and young adolescents who took the same journey from Malta when Malta was going through very challenging times, there were many children that traveled to Australia. Now, in this case, they weren't entirely alone, but they were without their families and expected to build a life for themselves somewhere else. And today, we recognize the hardships and the abuse and the neglect that was very much a part of that process. So in a way, we are able to recognize this vulnerability, but not in every context and not with every young person. So in the case of unaccompanied minors arriving in Malta, they're either fleeing war or persecution, poverty, a lack of opportunities, it could be gang violence. Every story is individual, but their commonality is pain, precarity, insecurity, and violence of different forms. It is interesting, actually, one of the, and I'll remind you as well, Amy, that the reason why people get on a boat is because they're denied the opportunity to travel in a safe and legal way. In other words, when I want to travel, I either just use my ID card or use my passport, or sometimes I have to apply for a visa to be able to do so. But it never crosses my mind, really, that I won't be able to do this. In the case of asylum seekers who travel across the Mediterranean, they do so because they don't have access to the visa. So the best way of stopping these journeys is to provide safe and legal opportunities to travel. So it was important for us that we gave voice to these unaccompanied minors and also to understand these transitions to adulthood. Now, as a youth researcher, this is something of great interest to us in general. We often describe the process of youth as that journey, if you will, between childhood and adulthood that traditionally was quite a simple transition. I like to use, it's not my own metaphor, but the metaphor of a train journey with everybody essentially on the same journey, on the same tracks. You're in a cabin sharing the same journey with other people who are very much like you. Same people stay on the journey with you, and your decisions are pretty much mapped out for you. And it's a very gendered process. As a woman, we dated, we looked for our partner who would have been someone of the opposite sex. If you work, you give up and you become a housewife. And for young men, it would be about a career, which often is following in the lines of their parents. There's limited opportunities. Marriage, children, and the journey folds out in a pretty linear way with very little by means of surprises. There's quite a lot of security there, despite insecurities along the way, like poverty and what have you. For all young people today, these trajectories are much more diverse. This period of time generally takes much, much longer. We speak of yo-yo transitions where young people leave home and then they come back again, or they can't leave home because they continue their studies for many years. There are many, many choices available to them. So it's less of a train journey and more of a car journey. It's much more independent. Do you have a roadmap to carve out your journey? And what kind of car are you driving? Is it a great car? Can you afford the petrol? Can you afford the service? Or are you left with some knackered car and no one's taught you how to drive it and you can't change your wheels if you get a puncture? So it's very individual. There's a lot more choices, but there's a lot of precarity as well. And the transitions to adulthood are not set out the way they used to be. So as a youth researcher, we're very aware that the trajectory to adulthood in Malta, for all young people, is increasingly precarious. We can look at, even, for example, access to housing, rent prices. Will they own their own house? this all necessarily impacts these transitions and the decisions young people take as they embark on their own journey. So all young people go through this, including unaccompanied minors. And our interest was looking at how they experience these trajectories, this transition to adulthood, and how, if at all, it is any different to young people in Malta who are perhaps protected by citizenship, or who don't have to go to, or migrants who don't have to go through an asylum process, how it affects them, what obstacles do they face, what support have they received along the way, and perhaps these findings can also contribute to further research and also our advocacy and policy development.
So for side enough teeth na rameta jiġu hawnhekk l-unaccompanied minors u semmejt il-detention center qed nassumi ma nafx hemm li hemm detention centers speċifiċi għal dawn il-persuni u dawn jiswiċċaw joqogħdu ma' adulti oħrajn.
No, they unless somebody is very obviously a child, which generally would be a very young person, 5, 6, 7, believe it or not, we have had young. Anyone who is an apparent teenager is placed with the adults in detention and goes through an age assessment process. And this is obviously hugely problematic, and Malta has been criticized over and over again for this practice. We interviewed 6 people. They all went into detention. There was one girl, the rest were boys. They spent between 2 and 9 months in detention. Let me give you one quote. People inside were very angry and like fighting all the time and screaming freedom and doing protests inside. One time it was a very big thing, and the police, they came and they started beating everyone. I will never forget that day. In detention, I saw hell on earth. I was crying and people were bleeding. It was like a strike inside the detention because people wanted to leave. We'll call this young man Osman, and he was describing his experience in detention and how terrifying it was for him. Interestingly, McLovin, they chose their own names as pseudonyms, he told me there was no one there to help me. I needed a way out, but there was no one there to show me a way out. And Juliet said, I was lost because there was nobody to coach me. So many young people who are detained in awful conditions and for months on end.
Hey, Mara, għal-qabel forsi il-ħsieb ta' kif ġew kif sibtu l-parteċipanti għal din ir-riċerka. Forsi tagħtina ftit iktar informazzjoni dwar dan il-proċess.
Yeah, it was obviously the ethical concerns throughout they're at the center of everything, aren't they? It's always difficult when we come to conduct research like this. You don't want to re-traumatize. It's always an ethical dilemma. If they don't speak, if these narratives don't come out, then nothing changes. And frankly, nothing changes anyway, and I'll get to that. Although I live in hope. So if you don't interview, if you don't get these and collect these narratives, then you don't have the evidence base. But if you do, then there are risks involved. So it's obviously it goes to the heart is looking after their well-being. So what we did is we work with JRS. And first of all, the young people that we interviewed were no longer children. They had transitioned to adulthood. They'd been in Malta for some while. They were relatively stable. They had maintained contact with JRS, so they were receiving ongoing support from social workers or a youth worker. So there were very important steps that we took in this regard.
Support network.
Absolutely. Otherwise, they're informed of the research. We did, the researchers don't obviously approach them directly, but through a gatekeeper, and those that are interested contacted us to let us know. They were also informed of the research process and what was happening. So this element of, and of reciprocity is also a very important part, I think, of the research mm-hmm. process as well.
Għalli dawn qed jagħtuk il-ħin tagħhom.
Absolutely.
Yes. Inti tistab xi mod.
Yeah.
M'hemm xi benefiċċju li ovvjament ħajkun.
No. No, any changes won't impact them directly, they're no longer in detention. It's tough, Amy, you know, I mean, every time and over the years, obviously this isn't the first piece of research I've done, and many young asylum seekers today, they're much older, some of them have been here for 20 years, and they say nothing's changed. You know, what's the point? So there is this sort of disillusionment as well, and they're not wrong. In many ways, they're not wrong. Today, we are looking more at integration and inclusion, not in a great way, but at least there's a conversation happening, which wasn't happening 20 years ago. But the detention policy has gone from bad to worse. Nothing improved. We're still detaining children. One young man told us, you said you saved me. You picked me up from the Mediterranean and you placed me in prison, so how is that saving me? It's important that even I felt challenged by that perspective. I've never been an asylum seeker, I've never been through it, so even the language that we use needs to be challenged, needs to be questioned. Are we really saving if we place in prison? And I'm not the first person to say that. The former Prime Minister actually noted that as well, Joseph Muscat.
And to be honest, she was
overwhelming.
Yeah, it was subject li was sensitive ħafna u ħalli kważi blacklim ġifieri
because it is unbelievable, you know, and many students, when we share these narratives and I tell them about what's going on, and their initial response is one of, because it's so unbelievable. And get it out there. And that's why when you said you want to come on the program, hell yeah, I'll come on the program and speak about it, because we published this research. The research was well covered by the media. Anyone that watches the news or goes on new social media sites will have been aware of this research, and zero response, Amy, from the government and the opposition. Zero response.
Ja, ovvjament hija aktar inkwetanti kważi li taf kif li qed toħloq dan l-arfien u xorta waħda tinkwieta li qed taqa' fuq widni.
Mhux ninkwieta u and I get angry.
Ekko.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating because we are violating children, we are violating their rights, and nobody seems to care, at least the people in power with the power to change it don't care. And if they did care, they could change it. They could demonstrate that by changing it.
Grazie tal-li oġbok propju tiġi taqsam din riċerka tant importanti magħna. Nirġgħu lura naqra għall-proċess. Forsi tgħidilna ftit kif ġabbret l-informazzjoni. Però mbagħad nixtieq ukoll tgħidilna, semmejtilna diġà xi kwotazzjonijiet li ovvjament li minnar ma trid missuk. Però mhux hekk biss, forsi tgħidilna naqra iktar proprja x'kienu l-iktar affarijiet li ħarġu minn din ir-riċerka.
Yeah. Well, I should say that this was a collaboration with JRS and Aditus Foundation, and I conducted the research with Dr. Lolin Farrugia. It was the two of us, I didn't do it alone. The key findings, well, the narratives, you can find the research online,
okay.
And you can find excerpts. I just gave you a couple, but there if you just Google I think it's on the Aditus and the JRS website. Okay. I've uploaded it myself as well. It's Children in Limbo, Youth Transitions Among Asylum Seekers in Malta. So you can find that there. their voices were there. We used thematic analysis. It was IPA, and we used thematic analysis. In terms of their, we decided to use their conclusions because we found that felt that their conclusions were incredibly powerful and ridiculously simple. The first was, "This is not a rescue. You didn't save me." The second was, "I was scared, and these policies are terrorizing these children." The third was, "See me. See me as an individual. See me, Daniel. See me, Ahmed. Know who I am and what I want. They want to play football. They want to play basketball. They want to look forward to a simple life. What they want, security. They want security. They don't want anything beyond what we should be taking for granted. I need a guardian. I need someone who cares. That was a very strong finding. They all mentioned at least one individual who made a difference. For some of them, it was a family member that kept that light alive, that hope alive. Social workers, a few social workers really made an amazing difference. Another spoke of a youth worker who he met in Sweden before he was sent back home, was sent back to Malta, should I say, because he was picked up. He tried to get away from Malta and was picked up with the fingerprints and was sent back. He tried three times to leave and was sent back. We used the metaphor of a map. Give me a map I can work with. Give me a document. And what they mean by this is, give me a document, in other words, permission to remain in Malta, an identity, mm-hmm. and I can do the rest. Just give me that document so that I can use the map. Because many of them didn't have protection, and without protection, their very being is questioned every day. Without a document, they couldn't even play football with an official team. It's as if they don't exist. Ghosts within our society. Give them a document. Give them some hope. Give them care and basic respect.
Edin Orbulin, l-ħarta l-program fu stajdin naftit il-rekomendazzjoniet, għadek kif semmejta, unek ovvjament l-ħarġu minn dawn anka il-temi, u ma stess, really.
Yeah. I've rendered you speechless. In fact, we were going to give detailed policy recommendations, and we decided not to in this research. We can use other opportunities and other tools to develop these recommendations because we felt that it was important that we stick to what they need. So our recommendations, there are six. Care. Show that you care. Provide care. We use the word care. We throw it around, you know, care. Really show that you care.
Kif nistgħu, kif qed titolbu li
l-awtoritajiet jgħidu? Just see them. Recognize the child. See the child. And if you have any humanity from that, I think the rest comes good. Oh, I'm looking at the top. The government and the opposition, because the opposition are also in a position here to give voice to these young people. Stop detaining young people, give them access to a document, and give them the support so that they can continue on their journey in a safe way. Show respect, including respect for their fundamental human rights. Protect them. Don't place them in detention. Protect them. Don't leave them in an open center. Provide the social workers with the resources they need and the youth workers with the resources they need to provide proper care. Give them guidance. All young people need guidance. I mean, let's face it. What I'm saying here is what one would expect for any young person, and they should be no different. Assure their well-being and give them hope. Give them something to hope for.
Dik l-idea naħseb tiġbor dak kollu li tkellimna fuq dwar din nofsija li ovvjament you give hope to these people għax at the end
part
of ġurnata.
Real hope.
Dik biss issa sara forsi f'rekomandazzjoni li verament tiġib differenza fil-ħajja ta' dawn in-nies. Grazie ħafna Marija li oġbok tġi taqsam magħna din in-nofsija fejn tkellimna proprju dwar din ir-riċerka importanti ħafna fejn tad vuċi l-dawk iż-żgħażagħ li jkun qegħdin li jagħmlu din qasmu proprju l-baħar ħafna drabi anke l-art biex proprju jsibu ħajja aħjar. Grazzi lilkom talli noġobkom tingħaqdu magħna għal din in-nofsija. Ġejna fit-tmim ieħor, fit-tmim ta' programm ieħor, nistednilkom tiltaqgħu miegħi l-ġimgħa d-dieħla, l-ġimgħa tajba, grazzi.